If you've missed any of today's show, very simple. You can rewind it on the Odyssey app all the way back to 10 a.m. Tiki's got a belief, a premonition, if you will, that Mike Tomlin's going to dump the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not the other way around, even though Steeler fans are ready to dump Mike Tomlin. And that means we'll spend the next 5 years as Jet fans calling up Sports Talk Radio talking about how Mike Tomlin should be our next head coach.
We need Tomlin. Can't we just go get Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin's been retired for 3 years now. He's got to be wanting to come back now. We need him.
Yes, we've had a few of those topics around here at WFAN. For many years, it was the Mets need to hire Wally Backman as their manager. For many years, it was the Giants or Jets need to hire Bill Cowher as their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, if your premonition is right, it'll be the same with Mike Tomlin. Now, speaking of another Mike, today Mike McCarthy is meeting with the New York Giants, and you have put on record that you wouldn't hire Mike McCarthy. And I mean, respect that.
I don't dislike Mike McCarthy, but given the other options, I'd opt for somebody else.
Okay. You're in the room today, and I have said before I think the Giants should have you in the room, though the schedule would have to be altered because the show comes first. But nevertheless, if you're in the room with Mike McCarthy, and look, you don't want to hire him, but you're also open-minded.
Of course.
You're having an interview with him. You're not just going to say,
right, just blow me away type of thing.
What are the questions you need to have answered from Mike McCarthy that maybe could change your view on hiring him?
I think the first thing is always, who is your staff? Who are you bringing with you? Right? Who are you helping? Who are you bringing to help Jackson Dart reach his fullest potential? Because that's number one. Defensively is, how are you keeping pace with what the Kyle Shanahan's, Mike McVay's offenses are doing in this game? How are you going to keep pace with that? So basically, what's your defensive coordinator and what's his game plan? And then I think most importantly for this team in particular, meaning our Giants, is there's been a lack of accountability that feels like it pervades the field. Right? It's one thing when it's Abdul Carter missing a meeting, but when it's like on field, game day, Deontay Banks not hustling to push Jalen Hurts out of bounds, or like looking lost in whatever the call is. That game day accountability is the most important thing, and I don't think the Giants have had enough of it. So how are you going to instill that and enforce it, most importantly?
Sean, as the host of multiple Giants podcasts, my sources tell me the third most popular and the 15th most popular Giant podcast in the space.
Mm. Close.
Am I sort of accurate with that?
Yeah, it's first and 11th, but that's fine.
First and 11th?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You got one number one and a number 11.
Yeah.
How many are there?
12.
You're 11 out of 12?
There are 12 Giant
podcasts. By the way, I just made up the number 12, but there's a lot.
No, I know there's a lot, but I didn't think there were 12.
Wow. I think there's more.
Yeah, I think there's
really?
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go with like 26.
Yeah.
How would the Giant fan mostly react to the hiring of Mike McCarthy as their head coach?
Anything other than Harbaugh at this point is going to feel like a massive disappointment, but you will quickly get the people that rally and go, he's established, he wins 12 games. I think within 24 hours, the fan base won't be as nearly upset as they would be with some of these coordinators.
Your reaction to Mike Harbaugh, I combine them. Your reaction to Mike McCarthy would be what?
I would not be happy. Mm. I would not be happy. I would talk myself into it. I'd be a sucker. Yeah.
You'd be the, okay, I'll like this in a week.
It's going to feel massively disappointing, and I'm going to look like the biggest fraud with like lipstick clown stuff on me, like within 5 days going, well, you know, look at how many games you won.
Right.
Everything that I have discounted and fought with Tommy about, I'm going to have to like bend the knee and talk myself into. So I'm prepared to be a hypocrite when they hire Mike McCarthy.
I'd be very surprised if they hire him. I would be. And I think Mike's a hell of a head coach. I do not think he'd be a bad hire. I'd probably be more positive than both of you upon hiring him. But just reading the tea leaves of the moment that the Giants are in, they are going for John Harbaugh.
They are. Yeah.
And I think they're going to get him. And
as they should.
As they should, absolutely. If they miss out on him, I still don't think it'd be Mike McCarthy.
Now, the good news, my fear of how they end up with McCarthy is they wait on Harbaugh. Stefanski says, to hell with this, I got an offer.
And he's their third choice.
He's their third choice. But the good news is Harbaugh feels like he's this big a candidate with everybody that I don't think Stefanski's getting hired before Harbaugh makes a call.
I would almost equate the John Harbaugh free agency to the Juan Soto free agency, where I think everyone's going to wait on Juan Soto, or in this case, John Harbaugh.
Right.
Now, if John informs teams today, hey, I'm not interviewing with you, then of course those teams will move on. But I think as long as a team thinks they have a chance at him, or they're interviewing him, or they're a part of the process, they're not going to quickly move on somebody else. He is clearly the belle of the ball, and I think he's the number one target of every sane team, besides the Ravens, obviously, that are looking to fill out their head coaching job.
And the good news is, unlike that pig Aaron Rodgers, when everybody waits on him to make a quarterback, remember that last year when he's going to make him, whatever?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think Harbaugh's going to sit there and go, you know what, I'll decide in February. Like, he is going to also acquiesce here to this.
It's impossible for him to wait, because after you get hired as head coach, it's a daunting job to go put your staff together, move your family or move yourself, get your stuff in order. Because he's been in Baltimore, Maryland area for 2 decades.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got to uproot and go someplace else, whether that's across the country or just north of us. And if it's here, that takes some time, man. So the quicker you do that, the easier it is to get back or get into a normal existence in your new abode. So I think waiting only hurts you.
I agree. I think he's going to sign soon. I think this is going to be a massive week in New York sports. I think we're going to get an answer on Kyle Tucker, probably to the Dodgers, and we're going to get an answer on John Harbaugh. One last thing about John Harbaugh, and we'll get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. As I mentioned, you kind of believe that Mike Tomlin will walk away from the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, do you think John Harbaugh and vice versa would consider each other, or is that just too weird?
That feels weird. I can't see that happening. It'd be awesome, but I can't see that happening.
It's a tough spot for Harbaugh from this perspective. Him and Tomlin were clearly, whether they were frenemies, coach, rivals, right, anything. Harbaugh's not a stupid man. If he views the Pittsburgh Steelers and goes, what can I do better with this team that Tomlin already wasn't doing, he's stuck without a quarterback. And I think inevitably you go there, he's having the same seasons Tomlin's having. And what does that look like then in the end?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I also think that I don't know if John's a bitter man. Like, if he's bitter, if he's one of those guys who creates enemies lists when he feels he's been discarded, then he could go there out of bitterness. He could go out of there to say, you know what? You unceremoniously dumped me. I'm going to stick it to you. Same thing would be going to Cleveland, by the way. I think it is kind of similar. It's a division rival. I don't get the vibe that John Harbaugh is an enemy list kind of guy. Like, I think if he ended up going to Cleveland, it would be because of the connection that his family and he has to the city, mm-hmm, more than it would be, boy, I want to stick it to Piscotty. I'm pissed off that he got rid of me. So I think that would be the only thing that would take him to Pittsburgh. And I just don't get the vibe that Harbaugh's a enemy list kind of guy. But worth keeping in mind, because it is certainly possible we may get a ninth head coaching vacancy. 888-808-1019. Dominic in New Rochelle. Good afternoon, Dominic.
Hey, Dom.
What's up, fellas?
All's good.
Kiki, what worries me about Joe Shane is it's not so much on his drafting.
Yeah.
He has actually had decent drafts. It's besides a couple of bad first-round picks, it's his off-season moves that weren't good. He has less foundational locker room winning players that are also really good players, and Julian Love and McKinney walk out the door.
Yeah.
He's also traded Leonard Williams. It's his off-season decisions that would worry me if Harbaugh doesn't come here. He's used to the opposite of Baltimore. His GM over those years kept those guys.
Yep.
So I wonder if that could play a major role in him coming here and working with Shane or not. I hope it doesn't.
I mean,
and Sean, I agree with you. McCarthy would be definitely a big disappointment.
Yeah. It's like lukewarm. It's not like ice cold. It's a lukewarm hire. If you sit there long enough, it starts to feel like it's hot, even though it's not.
Well, I think John Harbaugh is the guy. And if you don't end up with him, I said this the other day, fair or not, it's going to feel like a massive disappointment.
Mm.
It's just the way it is. I mean,
there's not any definitive link. Like, we haven't heard anything from, let's call it John Harbaugh's camp, because he doesn't have one, but from the insider saying, John Harbaugh really likes New York. He loves the situation. That's where he wants to be. So we haven't heard that anywhere from either, you know, against pro or against the New York Giants.
Every link around John Harbaugh has actually been positive to every team.
Exactly.
He likes this, he likes that, he's happy.
Right.
Basically,
it depends on what town you live in.
Yeah.
You think John Harbaugh loves your team.
Which sounds like an agent just keeping him involved in every potential negotiation.
By the way, which you should.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy. Like, we said it yesterday. He is Juan Soto of the NFL coaching offseason.
He is. He's the guy everybody wants.
Nothing is happening until he signs wherever he signs or gets hired wherever he's hired.
We assume, like in Soto's case, it was about payrolls. Like, well, the Pirates aren't interested because they can't afford them or they're not willing to spend that kind of money. Obviously, that's not the case in football. I think the case is we just assume, well, he wouldn't be interested in that team.
Yeah.
That's how we dismiss teams. Like, he wouldn't go there.
Right, right.
It's not about the money necessarily. Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. What's up, dude?
I've been talking to you a couple times about the Harbaugh thing. He would be my first choice also, but I needed to get your feeling on one thing that that kind of bugs me about him. You bring him into a situation with Dart. He's had Lamar there, the MVP, and offensively, it's never really seemed to work to its fullest. Does that concern you at all with bringing him in this situation?
Well, not really, because I think he's not an offensive coach. So he can give ideas on what he wants the offense to look like, but he's not scheming and developing, put that in quotes, your young quarterback, in this case Lamar Jackson. I think his job is to hire the best offensive coordinator for his specific quarterback that he can. That's why Greg Roman was brought in. And obviously we know him historically from his time with San Francisco and Colin Kaepernick. So he comes to and helps Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson actually starts to really thrive. But it's like he hit a ceiling. You know what I mean? And then so they needed to adjust. So they bring in Todd Monken, who has mostly been a college, had most of his success in college, in particular at University of Georgia, where he won back-to-back championships. And he helped redevelop this passing downfield acumen that Lamar Jackson's always had, just never got refined. And so I think what you trust in John Harbaugh is it'll put the right staff together for his team, not just because I like this guy and I want to give him a shot. It's I know what this guy does for this specific type of player. And you have to trust that he'll do that if he gets hired by the Giants for Jackson Dart.
Sam is in Hackensack. What's going on, Sam?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Appreciate it.
Here's my question. More and more teams, specifically I hear in Seattle this morning, are putting like subtle threats on their season ticket holders to not put tickets on the open market for whatever reason. Now, I know you've got season tickets to the Knicks. I think that's terrible. You own the tickets. You should be able to do whatever you want with those tickets, especially considering the price now. How do you feel about that?
I think it sucks. I mean, I get why they're doing it. The Seahawks are putting restrictions or threatening their season ticket holders because they don't want Niner fans to buy those tickets and fill up their building. And look, I don't know the Seattle's ticket situation over the last decade, and I wouldn't even use the Knicks as an example, but I'd use the Mets as an example.
Right.
I've been a Mets season ticket holder since I took it over from my dad in 2009. And I will tell you this, more times than not, I'd say 90% of the time, being a season ticket holder to a baseball team is a losing proposition. You go to the games, and then there are plenty of games you can't go to.
Right.
You try to sell it, and you never do well. It is not a business. So if there's a rare opportunity to make a few dollars off a playoff game, which I wouldn't want to do because I'd want to go to the playoffs,
right.
But I get it if you choose to make your money back.
What happens if you can't?
What if you can't?
Right.
I had that
you got a cheer competition.
I had a
like
2 year.
I do all the time.
Or I had a radio show 2 years ago.
Right.
It was a Met-Dodger playoff game, and we were on the air.
Right.
And I wasn't skipping work. I only do that for opening day occasionally. And so I sold it. And great, I made some money. I never make money off the Mets. So I feel bad for that person who's been a season ticket holder for a long time. They're not doing it to make money. They're doing it to go to games, but they can't naturally go to every game. And they just try to sell it to get their money back. And now you're telling them when they actually can make money, too bad.
Right.
Are you helping them out when they can't give their tickets away? Like the Jets are even a better example. I'm a Jets season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
I could not give my tickets away to the games I couldn't go to. I'm not trying to be selfish.
Right.
I can't go to the game. No one will buy them. So you're telling me if the Jets are in the AFC title game next year, and I say, you know what, screw it. I have lost so much money off this freaking football team, I'd like to make a few bucks back, that the Jets all of a sudden are going to swoop in and say, no, you're not allowed to do that after you watched me just lose cash for the last decade? That doesn't seem fair.
No, you're right. And it's the teams want control because it's interesting because I wonder in the regular season if it's to control the downside, you know, because sometimes these tickets are going for like $5, $8. In the playoffs, it's going 10, I don't know, five times face value, and they're not getting any of that margin. They lose it all, right? It's all lost to them. It's only to the fan. And so they don't want to be the non-interested third party, even though it's their ticket.
But more times than not, they're benefiting from the season ticket holder spending more money for the tickets than the secondary market's willing to pay.
True.
Now you got the rare occasion where it's a hot ticket. I know.
They want all upside. They want all the upside, none of the downside.
One thing I realize is that teams have every right. Like, you sign these deals. Like, I know with all the season tickets I have, they have every right to take tickets away from me or take tickets away from you. So I understand that it's not like I've got all these rights. But if you ask me, do I think it's fair or not? No, I don't think it's fair. I think you should be able to do what you want with your tickets.
I agree.
Especially when you take a beating for such a long period of time. I think Jet and Giant fans, that's probably how I keep it to football. You guys understand. If you're a Giant season ticket holder or a Jet season ticket holder, you go to the games, you still have a good time with your family. What about the games you can't go to? You can't give them away right now. Now all of a sudden the Giants or Jets turn it around and the team swoops in and says, Nope, can't do secondary market.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's like, I've been taking a bath for the last 10 years. I can't have one good day?
No, if you're a season ticket holder, part of the agreement is I don't want to feel pressure that I must use my own tickets or just hand them off to somebody I know. Like, it just, why would you purchase that? It's completely asinine.
I agree.
Now, unless you're playing the Eagles, in which case, hold.
Let's go to Brian and Jackson. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, as a Jets fan, and I'm looking at this pool of the head coach is out there, and we're holding on to our stiff, Aaron Glenn, who I would be okay keeping him, you know, in a vacuum. But with the opportunity out there to get a coach, I know the chances are very low on being able to land a Kevin Stefanski, a Jim Harbaugh, but isn't it worth at least taking the gamble? He's not good enough to prevent us from taking a gamble. Let's take the gamble. Let's offer him 50% equity in the team, or, I don't know, something crazy, blow him out of the water, make him the highest paid head coach in history, and let's get Harbaugh, Stefanski, McCarthy, someone.
I understand wanting to take that risk, but let me walk you down reality. They're going to say no. And now we're left holding the bag. So I'm going to morash this for you. And that's a new verb around here. It means I'm going to spin something for you. I'm going to spin a yarn. And tell me if this passes the morash test. I don't believe in Aaron Glenn. And if I had to guess right now, he's probably gone at the end of next year. But there are going to be 9 new head coaches potentially in 2026. 9.
Yeah.
Including the Steelers.
Yes. But it's also a fortunate year, as we had from a caller. The names of the coaches that are available this year.
Very good.
It's awesome.
I totally get it. Jets aren't getting those guys, even if they were the 10th team. But if 9 of those vacancies are filled, to go along with the good head coaches who aren't going to get fired, it means that next year has a chance to be a historically low list of teams looking for head coaches, which puts the Jets in a better spot to get a good head coach when there's only 2 or 3 teams looking for a head coach.
Right, if Clint Kubiak doesn't get a shot this year, or Chris Shula doesn't get a shot this year, or whoever, Jeff Hafley or Jesse Minter. If they don't get their shots this year, they'll get their shots next year.
So think about this. Not only will the Jets be one of very few vacancies. Let's say they take Dante Moore and they barely play him. There'll be a value in, and they've got the young quarterback, they got the draft picks. I think the Jets have a chance to next year, based on very few other teams having openings, and what they do in this draft, setting themselves up to having a very appealing job next year. Will I be more competitive to get a really good head coach? Does that pass the morass test?
It does, but there's like a minor error with it.
Go ahead.
Are you insinuating there's only going to be like 3 openings next year?
Well, I'm saying I don't know.
They're not going to be 7
it's
to 9.
It's not going to be as many as there are now, just based on the odds of the amount of vacancies. They're not going to go one and done.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I kind of think once you get to like, as long as there's like 6 openings, I think you're still having the argument, where do the Jets sit in there? You know what I mean?
But 6 is better than 9.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But are there going to be 6?
I don't think there'll be 6.
Remember, we counted this the other day. There's a lot on the line.
All right, here we go. Long-term prediction. January 13th, 1:20 p.m. How many NFL head coaching vacancies will happen for the 26 into 27 season? I'm sorry, did I phrase that wrong?
No, you're right.
For the 27 season.
Yeah, from the 26 into the 27 season.
Yeah, how many vacancies will there be?
Let's count them. I could see Cincinnati, Indy.
I think either the Packers or Eagles open next year.
Packers or Eagles. So let's throw either one.
Just as a surprise team.
Either one of those in there.
Jets.
I already have them.
Just give me a number.
Tampa. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to do it rationally, dude.
Okay.
I'm not just going to throw a random number out of there.
That's what I'm doing.
It could be 6 or 7.
Six, seven.
I'm going to say 4.
That's exactly my number.
Yeah.
There will be four head coaching vacancies in January of 2027. Sean, how many?
Five if Sean McVay decides to leave.
That's always a possibility, or Andy Reid decides to retire. Yeah. You have those wild cards, and I fully admit that.
Right.
But I'm going to go with it being a much smaller number. Right now there's eight with the potential of nine with Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with four coaching vacancies a year from now in January of 2027.
Six.
Okay. Mm. Or seven.
Yeah. Long-term bet. Next year, the Jets hire Mike McDaniel.
That's a good long-term bet. No, oh,
he's already going to be the coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, that's right. You already picked him.
That's true. If he gets an OC job and does a really good job, I could see it. And I would be more open to that than the Gase hire, because what bothered me about the Gase hire, A, I didn't think he was a good head coach.
Yeah.
But B, it was instant. I didn't like the instantness of going from failed. Right.
You'll get there, Ev.
McDaniel taking a step back for a year and being an OC somewhere, okay. I can buy that.
Right. What is that word? Instant.
I'm not even going to attempt to do
it. It's not a word. Instantness is not a word.
Yeah, I made up a word.
Instant gratification.
No, because he's not gratified.
There was no gratification with Adam Gase. It was just instantness. That's the word. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. Plus, I want to play for Tiki Barber and everybody in the audience. One of the great ways to handle a post-game press conference when you're really, really pissed off. One of the great post-game press conferences you'll ever hear. It happened last night in sports, and we have it for you coming up here on Evan and Tiki.
I'm always busy.
With Sean Morash.
Always on the go. Even with Sean disrupting my life by being Sean.
Sorry, Tiki.
That's all good. But you know what I value most? It's safety for me and especially my family when I'm not with them. That's why I turned to Sloman's, our partner, who recently installed the Sloman Shield Link system into my home. And it is unbelievable how convenient and amazing it is. It combines safety, that convenience that I mentioned, and most importantly, peace of mind that I can manage right from my phone. There's so many things that I love about this, but I'll give you an example. 2 weeks ago, we left our house. We were traveling for the night, and we forgot to turn our security lighting on outside. So all I had to do was pop on my phone and flip on my security lights. I could even turn on the lights inside my house when we're not there. The Sloman Shield Link system controls everything from the cameras, my garage door, audio control, Apple Music, connected. It is fantastic and so convenient for me and my family. You can experience the future of home security and automation as well with the Sloman Shield Link system. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. That's 1-800-ALARM-ME or visit Sloman's.com.
This portion of the program was sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything. Make money trading on sports, politics, culture, and more legally nationwide with Kalshi. From sports to Bitcoin and even the Oscars, if it matters, you can trade on it. Trade the game, player props, and more.
If you're looking to level up your wardrobe, check out Collars & Co. You might have seen them on Shark Tank, where they landed a deal with Mark Cuban. They're the team behind the dress collar polo that sold over a million shirts. Now they've launched the Maverick Performance Blazer. This thing is legit. Sharp, lightweight, and completely wrinkle-resistant, which is perfect for travel. Just pack it up. It comes out looking fresh. Plus, get smart features like security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So hit up my boys at collarsandco.com. Use code Tiki for 20% off. That's at collarsandco.com.
I want to play for you something utterly brilliant. So last night, while you weren't paying attention, the Boston Celtics lost to the Indiana Pacers on a game-winning shot by Pascal Siakam with about 8 seconds to go. And it was controversial because it looked like an illegal screen was set that freed Siakam up, okay? After the game, Joe Mazzulla was having his press conference.
Oh, Joe.
And Joe Mazzulla was not happy about the non-call of the illegal screen. So I play to you, it's like a minute, and I think it's his entire press conference. Here is Joe Mazzulla's press conference after that loss in which the illegal screen really bothered him.
Wow.
That was brilliant. And I would advise any coach who's pissed off about like a pass interference call. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Aaron Glenn? Actually, this is perfect for Aaron Glenn.
You can't even get fined because you're not talking about a specific play. You're just saying something that is, like, nondescript.
Yeah, you're just, I think Joe Mazzulla's fine proof in terms of that press conference. So it would be Aaron Glenn after a game in which he's pissed off about, you know, a pass interference. Just pass interference. Mm-hmm. Hey, coach, what'd you think of the quarterback's play? Pass interference. Hey, coach, what'd you think of that? Pass interference. So I got to give Joe Mazzulla a lot of credit. I thought that was one of the more brilliant answers and handling of being upset about a non-call that you'll ever hear. And coaches, managers, steal it from them.
But you have to have had some success and, like, earn the right to not answer any other questions.
So you're saying Aaron Glenn could not do that?
He could absolutely not do this.
How would that have gone over after rejecting
Joe Mazzulla has won a championship.
He not only has won a championship, I think what makes it perfect is his calmness. Like, Joe Mazzulla doesn't raise his voice.
No.
He's just a very calming influence. And so having him calmly repeat in his monotone voice over and over again, I mean, it's just, it's brilliant stuff. So good job by Joe Mazzulla. You won the press conferences last night.
This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. A quiet professional night for us here in New York, but it's the Islanders who own the local schedule. They've won 3 of their last 4, points in 4 straight, and they'll head to Winnipeg to play the Jets that don't have a playoff drought tonight for an 8 p.m. puck drop. The Isles are just 5 points back at Carolina for first place in the Metro and the Eastern Conference.
I don't know if you do this, Sean. I don't know if you do this, Tiki, but I have used these new hours to take advantage of time with my family and my wife. And one of the things me and my wife used to do, especially when I was doing these hours many years ago, is we pick a show and we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So like last night, even before the Nets tipped off and the football game started, we had a few hours, kids are calm, to watch a show. So the show we're binging right now is a show I've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy. I love the 25-minute comedy because I think it distracts us from the real-world problems. Like, I don't want to go get depressed. My wife doesn't want to get depressed, so like Homeland years ago was always tough to watch because you'd walk away being like, oh my God, terrorists are taking over, I hate this world. So the show that we are locked in on, and it's fitting because they're bringing this show back in a few months, which I don't think is a great idea, but they try that. We are binging Scrubs.
Scrubs?
Oh, that's a good call.
Did you ever watch Scrubs?
I never got into Scrubs.
Oh,
I mean, I was an ER guy.
Ugh.
ER guy?
Back in the day. I'm older than you guys.
Yeah,
so I was an ER guy.
ER was the boring show after the Thursday night lineup on NBC of goodness, but it was Seinfeld and Friends.
But it was intense. And so it felt like real drama.
Mm-hmm.
Scrubs is comedy. So it felt like a comedic, I don't know, attempt at what they did in ER. I never got into it.
Here's what you're wrong about.
Because I loved ER.
It's not ER. I'm not saying it's the same, but Scrubs is very heavy. Like, it's a comedy, and it'll make you laugh, but there are plenty of episodes in which, like, the last episode I watched, and I'm still in season one, even though I've seen it before, so it's not like I've watched.
And your wife likes it?
She loves it, because she had never seen it, so I was trying to find the show that she hadn't seen, and I was good with rewatching it, but on episode, like, 5 of season one, 3 patients die. I mean, it's sad.
Wow.
And one of them's really young, so, like, it is a heavy show, but they mix in some really smart comedy. The problem with Scrubs, and I'm going to warn my wife about this, is as the series goes on, they make the main characters stupider. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
And they do that with a lot of shows.
That's disappointing.
They make them dumber.
What did I say?
Stupider.
I did that on purpose.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's stupider by saying stupider instead of dumber.
Yeah, that's called...
You can't be trusted with your lingo, you know?
You don't think that makes sense? Like, I'm being ironic.
Yes. Okay, all right.
We are watching Highlander. No, Outlander. Outlander.
I've heard that's good.
What is that about?
On Netflix. It's about this woman. I forget her name. She's a pretty woman. And she's in a bad marriage. And she goes to this magic rock. You have to get over this part for a second because it's stupid. And then travels back in time to, like, colonial time.
That part sounds awesome. I don't know what you're talking
about. She travels back in time, and then she spends basically her life in this colonial time.
Really?
And they think she's a witch because she's a doctor or healer, and so it's pretty cool. But I think it's like 5 seasons or 4 seasons or something like that. We watched it before, but I've completely forgotten it, other than one thing that I was reminded of last night. It is basically softcore porn.
Tell me more.
You've intrigued us.
The sex scenes
are
long,
yeah,
not like 30 seconds, like 6 minutes.
Wow.
Of that.
Full nakedness?
Full nakedness.
Hmm.
And last night I woke up, we watched it, it was off, and then I hear the sound, like the moanings, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But it's a good show, too. So there's a good story behind it.
Yeah.
And it's intense, and it's about like a Scottish Revolution against the Imperial British. So it's actually a fun show.
With a lot of softcore pornography.
It takes some time to get to that point, but once it gets there, it's like, Jesus.
Huh. I'm going to write that one down.
Outlander.
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 And what is it on? You said Netflix?
Netflix. It just moved to Netflix.
That is the other thing that is so confusing. Like whether it's an original show on Netflix or Hulu, or an old show like Scrubs, where to find things is such a pain in the ass.
It's hard.
Because I don't know.
Because I know and then I forget. And I'm like where was it?
Yeah.
And so I end up having to search all of them.
Yeah,
or go to IMDb and it'll tell you. But that's a step that you just don't want to take.
I usually just scream to Alexa, hey, Alexa, where is blah, blah, blah? And then she's 55% of the time right. But sometimes she's very wrong. Let's get back to your calls. Jeff is calling from Greenwood Lake. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, how are you doing?
What's up?
Welcome to the morning hours.
Thank you.
Somewhat. yesterday at about 5:15, CMAC was describing George Steinbrenner, mm-hmm. and he was saying, I mean, you've heard the expression, somebody would be rolling in his grave. CMAC started out the expression by saying, if George Steinbrenner was alive, he would be rolling around in his grave.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Thank you. I just wrote that down. I'll be taking care of that for Idiots with Idioms coming up on Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon. Yeah, we're including C-Mac. Last week we included Craig when he told James Dolan or asked him, what keeps you
sleep at night?
Or it was Rob Manfred. Was it Manfred or
Manfred.
Dolan?
It was Manfred.
What keeps you sleeping at night? Which is the exact opposite of the phrase.
The Chargers have fired Greg Roman, who has been the offensive coordinator for Jim Harbaugh every single season in the NFL, but also was the OC at one point for John Harbaugh. So people are connecting the dots. Will he rejoin with John now?
So that's
I hope not.
Who they're kind of blaming for the Chargers' failure,
correct.
Offensive coordinator Greg Roman?
Correct.
That is very, very interesting, and I do think that connection is something to keep in mind. But why do you say you hope now? You don't think Greg Roman would be a good OC for Jackson Dart?
Didn't you hear, like, 20 minutes ago what I said about Lamar Jackson?
I do remember that.
John Harbaugh moved on from him, and he hired Todd Monken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how forward-thinking he is as far as offensive design, schematics, things of that nature.
So, I'll tell you what he was doing over the weekend. He was treating Justin Herbert like a pinball machine.
Right.
So
he was trying to Lamar Jackson.
He really was.
And it's like, dude, that's not this kid's game.
Yeah.
Did you see the one slide? I think it was a design run. It might have been a scramble. I can't remember. But it was a scramble where Justin Herbert was running. He picked up about 7 or 8 yards. And then he tried to slide because he's just awkward. He's so tall, he's awkward. He slid and he did this like massive split.
Yeah.
Like his legs like literally split like he was a cheerleader.
Very strange.
And it was like, dude, you rip your groin doing that.
No doubt.
So don't put him in positions where he even has to think about taking a slide like that.
Well, there are a lot of good OCs available. We talk about Brian Daboll, and that was your prediction for 2026, that he'll end up on a staff that ends up in the Super Bowl. Brian Daboll.
Even though he just interviewed with the Titans.
He did for their head coaching job, but I do not see him getting a head coaching job. I'd be very surprised.
I would be as
well. But I think he's going to get an OC job, and Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel and Brian Daboll are very similar in that they have to rehab their images. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to have to go back and be offensive coordinators.
Right. They had a modicum of success. But ultimately, they feel like they failed at their first head coaching jobs.
Yes.
Right.
Well, failed at a head coaching job is such an interesting question. Because I heard our buddy Tommy Lugauer saying that about Kevin Stefanski, that he is a failed head coach. And I was wrestling it in my head.
Two-time coach of the year.
Exactly.
Went to the playoffs. Now, only a couple times. Only won one playoff game, but whatever.
But that's what led me to this internal debate I had. And I appreciate Tommy putting the thought in my head. I'm not telling you Tommy's dead wrong. You clearly are. But I was thinking about it. What's a failed head coach? Like, if the answer is, well, if a guy got fired, that's not good, because Andy Reid got fired. He didn't fail in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Coughlin got fired. He didn't fail with the Giants. John Harbaugh got fired. He didn't fail with Baltimore. So it's clearly not being fired. It's
not succeeding enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to, well, what's succeeding enough?
Right.
Like Kevin Stefanski, to your point, won Coach of the Year twice. He took a franchise that is dog bleep and got to the postseason multiple times.
Right. Once in his first year, once in his fourth year.
Does that make you not a failed head coach? I don't. It's a great question because I don't know how to answer it. Like, is Brian Daboll a failed head coach? Well, I think the answer would be yes.
Right.
But he also won Coach of the Year and had one big playoff year. So what's the line between being a failed head coach and just a head coach that a team moved on?
Right.
From?
Because very rarely is it John Harbaugh-esque, or let's say if Mike Tomlin moves on, because he's not going to get fired and he'll never be looked at as a failure. But it almost feels like getting moved on from after a pretty good season. That makes you not a failed head coach.
So you have to have a good season?
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
Why is Doug Peterson a failed head coach?
It's a great question. How could you say he is?
In Jacksonville, yes.
Yes, in Jacksonville, yes. But
100%, because he was brought there for a specific reason, to rehab Trevor Lawrence, to get them back to some winning ways, and it didn't even get close.
But he wasn't a failed head coach in Philly.
Exactly right.
Okay, so is it championship?
Well, is Rex let's go local. Was Rex Ryan a failed head coach? Got the Jets to two AFC title games.
In New England? Absolutely.
In Buffalo?
I mean, Buffalo, absolutely.
Yeah, but with the Jets?
No.
Okay.
No, I thought he was, he brought a level of achievement that was over expectation. Maybe that's it. What's the expectation?
Yeah.
So if John Harbaugh comes to the New York Giants, gets them to the postseason 2-3 out of 7-8 years, but doesn't win one. Is that a failed head coach?
It's a different bar for John Harbaugh.
Of course it is.
Very different.
I would say it's a failed head coaching bar because he was good but not great. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
I think there are certain guys.
The expectation is John Harbaugh is going to help you build the organization, stabilize, but then win a Super Bowl.
I think certain guys are very easy. Robert Saleh was a failed head coach with the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. It's clear.
Right.
Pat Shurmur was a failed head coach. But I think when there are levels of success, which Daboll had, Stefanski had, Rex Ryan had. It's complicated.
Well, here's the big question. Here's the defining one. Ben McAdoo. He was only here for two seasons.
I know. Made the playoffs.
One of which he went to the playoffs.
Right.
Won 11 games, right?
Yeah.
Went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
The next year he's fired.
Yeah.
Was he a failed head coach?
So my gut on Ben McAdoo.
Nobody had expectations for them.
It's got to be yes.
Only coach in Giants history to make the playoffs in every completed season he had.
But come on. But think about what you just said. He got fired in his second season. It was such a disaster, they wouldn't let him finish the year. He's a failed head coach. Sometimes it's just your first reaction without overthinking.
Yeah, that's true.
But I have to admit, Kevin Stefanski is very complicated. Because when Tommy said that, I was like, is he a failed head coach? I mean, over the last 2 years he is. I can't argue it. He just got fired. His win-loss record in the last 2 years is terrible. But how do I just eliminate the two successes he had in Cleveland?
And even though he's not the defensive coach, he did coach the DPOY who broke the sack record.
Correct. And I would also make the argument he's probably the one head coach that's overcome the most obstacles for success in the last 5 years.
Right. He, in at least according to reporting, wanted nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. They ladled him with Deshaun Watson.
So you guys would both agree he is not a failed head coach?
I don't consider him one, no.
Do you consider Brian Daboll a failed head coach?
I guess I have to based on the win-loss record.
Yeah.
Even though their resumes are not that far off.
It was three horrendous seasons in a row.
You know what, Evan, let me dumb this down.
And two of them, you forgive him because the talent wasn't there. Last season, you don't forgive him.
Brian Daboll won a Coach of the Year. A lot of people do. I think when you get to that second Coach of the Year, that's proof that first one wasn't a fluke. So it's kind of like, is Eli a Hall of Famer without Super Bowl 46? Probably not. The second one separates him. I think the second one separates Stefanski from what we think of with Brian Daboll.
I think that the marketplace is also telling us that the league doesn't view him as a failed head coach because he's getting not just an occasional job interview, he's getting a lot of job interviews.
Right. And he's de facto going to be somebody's offensive coordinator next year.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Well, and I'd go further and say I'd be surprised if he's not a head coach. Like, I'd be actually very surprised.
Dave?
Kevin Stefanski, I'm talking about.
Yeah,
which is why the marketplace is telling you he's not a failed head coach because he's immediately getting tons of interviews. Yeah. Now, Adam Gase immediately got a job, but I think the Jets were the only ones that looked at him. I don't think any other team was like, ooh, Adam Gase. Let's go to Limo Driver Ed. What's up, Limo Driver Ed?
What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How y'all guys doing today?
We're good.
Good.
Hey, listen. Check, like, watch the kid again. Watch that kid from Miami. I think they're going to win it all. But keep an eye on him.
Carson Beck.
They have no shot. Indiana is going to chew him up, spit him out, and we're going to be asleep by halftime.
Okay, but they're playing in Miami, so be careful what you're saying.
I don't care if they're playing on Pluto.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens that. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, too, is Harbaugh is not going to the Giants. Because I tell you right now is, why would you want to play in that? Listen, I'm a Jets season ticket holder. Why would you want to play in that terrible stadium? Listen. Come on now. All right. And it's cold. He's going to go down to Las Vegas. Got the number one pick. His brother and family's close to him down there in San Diego.
I'd be stunned. I would be. I know earlier in the show.
Vegas would stun me.
Stun me. Earlier in the show, I think it was it you, Sean, or you, Teek, who said, do you think that John would want to stay away from Jim?
I said it.
Okay, because Jim said, I hope he goes to another conference.
Yeah.
And I think that's ridiculous. Jim staying in a conference.
It's not a thought out, we've talked about this statement. That was just, I don't want to coach against my brother.
Right. And that, by the way, I respect that.
Right.
The division is far different than the conference. I would be stunned if he stayed in division. I'd be stunned if he went to Vegas, of all places. I think their ownership situation is less than ideal. We really think that bowl haircut Davis is the guy you want to work for. Now, the stadium aspect. I would have this argument, and I'd be curious for those that have been to all the stadiums, like a legendary Iron Staten Island who's traveled with the Jets. I would argue that besides MetLife Stadium, the most boring, no personality, does nothing for me stadium in the NFL is M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. It's the same thing.
I think actually the Titan Stadium is a little worse, but
yeah.
But they're getting a new one.
M&T kind of looks cool.
Does it?
In certain like settings. Like it's got to be dusk-isk. You know what I mean? In
the lights need to be off, is what Tiki said.
Yeah, lights off, and then they have all the Raven purple eye stuff coming out. That's cool.
That's exactly right.
Okay. That is not a defense of the stadium.
But as we learned. It's not. But
MetLife Stadium looked cool the night Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. What does that mean?
I was just going to say the Jets in primetime made MetLife look cool.
Right.
Well, that exactly.
So, no, you're probably right. Evan, you might be onto something.
Because it is. You're right. It isn't. It's nondescript.
I've been there.
Feels like a college stadium.
Dude, almost. It's in a parking lot. It's next to Camden Yards. Yes, you've got the town, the city close by.
Inner Harbor.
But it's like, it's close by, but it's not. Like, you got to walk. Like, the Inner Harbor is closer to Oriole Park than it is M&T Bank. Mm-hmm. So you're in this, like, nothing area.
Oh, no, dude. We're missing. It's Washington is worse.
Oh, yeah, but, no, that's true. Because that's in a, you got to go through neighborhoods to get to that place.
I literally hailed an Uber to somebody's house.
Seriously. But here's the difference. Hard to get to whatever it's called. What's Highmark?
I think it's Merrick. No.
I forget what
Northwest Stadium.
Northwest.
But the difference between Washington and Tennessee that you bring up is both of those teams are getting new stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
So they've identified it. Yeah. They're not getting a new M&T Bank Stadium.
No, that's true.
So I'm just saying, if your argument to me is going to be, why would John go to MetLife Stadium? M&T Bank is like the same thing. It really is. It's like got no personality.
Well, but here's the thing.
It's a dull stadium.
Why does he care? All he cares about is his amenities, office, the locker room, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't care if there's crab fries in Section 312 or if there's good bathroom access.
Maybe he's got a lot of family, wants to come.
That's true.
They hate it. The suite service stinks.
But does the suite service stink?
At MetLife? No, it's awesome.
So then there's no problem.
It is awesome at MetLife.
Yeah, I had a ceiling tile almost fall on me at Northwest Stadium suites. Right. So
I think the people who have problems with MetLife Stadium are more me, Sean, and the fans that show up. I don't think like the highfalutin.
Right, the bougies like me.
Yeah.
I actually think we've gone too far at MetLife. Like, while I agree they're nice, we crush it too much. Like, inside of the stadium is not ugly. It's the outside.
No. The problem is that inside the stadium, not the suite areas or the dining areas, it's all concrete.
Yeah.
And so when it gets cold, dude. So as soon as it's November, it's miserable to be outside, and then it's miserable to go into the circle.
I think
that's true.
You're missing the issue with MetLife Stadium. It is the fact that over the course of a very short period of time, Citi Field was built, Yankee Stadium was built,
mm-hmm.
Barclays Center was built, Madison Square Garden got rejuvenated,
right.
Prudential Center was built, even UBS a few years later was built. We had this rush of new arenas and stadiums in our area, and they're all like pretty much beloved. Like everyone loves all of those places, or at least they get really good reviews. And then you had that.
Right.
It just didn't fit the renaissance that our city and area was facing with these beautiful new stadiums and arenas. It's like, what doesn't belong? And it was that one.
That is, without a shadow of a doubt, accurate. It's the worst of all the new stadiums. You're right.
Thank you. I've made a lot of good points today.
You've rallied in the last hour, Evan. I got
to
give you that.
Did I have a tough beginning to the show with points?
Yeah, you might have had a better beginning, and I had a rough beginning, and I was blaming you, but you had a good last hour.
I rallied strong. Well, if you want to check out the beginning of the show to see if Sean was right, that I had a lot of bad points, you can always rewind it on the Odyssey app, or you can consume the entire show on the WFN YouTube page, or you could download the Evan and Tiki podcast. So there's a lot of options to see if that really was the case on today's program. But there was a lot of stuff you may have missed, including our official predictions for all the head coaching vacancies, as well as Tiki's premonition that Mike Tomlin is done in Pittsburgh. Not because of the Steelers, but because of Mike Tomlin. So I advise you to rewind on the Odyssey app if you've missed any part of the program. We are back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Coming up next, The Carton Show. Big Mac, Craig Carton. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
And this Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Roto-Rooter, America's neighborhood plumber.